Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you.
How many have been here for our series, Old Things? Yeah, you've been here the past few weeks. We've been talking about some of the things that the Apostle Paul told us we need to put off, things that should be old things, because God has new things, better things for you. So we're going to continue that series tonight. We'll see how long the Lord takes this thing. It's the longest one we've ever done, but if he keeps speaking, so will I. So we'll just keep on rocking. We're going to get right in the Word of God. If you got your Bible, thank you. If you got your Bible, boot it up, turn it on, get ready to go. We're going all the way back to the book of Genesis tonight. Anybody like Genesis? You grew up in Sunday school, felt pads, VBS, all that good stuff. I love the book of Genesis, but we're going a little further along in Genesis. We're going to jump into Genesis chapter 25 tonight, verses 21 to 34. This is the story of Esau and Jacob. Two brothers. Any brothers in the room tonight? You came with your brother? Yeah? Oh, I might call y'all up on stage later. You shouldn't have told me that. It might be an illustration in your future. We'll see. This is the story of two brothers, but it's not how you two roll. I know that. I know the two of you. It's a little different. Let's learn. Verse 21. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife, Rebekah, became pregnant. She was 40 years old, y'all, and she became pregnant. Verse 22, but the babies jostled each other within her, and she said, why is this happening to me? So, like a good woman of faith, she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord spoke. He said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other. And then this part was very strange. The older will serve the younger. Now, friends, this is not what culture, tradition, and religion said in this day. This was very strange. Verse 24, when the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Chewbacca. Actually, Esau, I've been telling the Lord I'm going to stop saying that joke. I really need to. Verse 26, after this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. This is Jacob. He says, you're not coming out without me, bro. Grabbing his heel. So he was named Jacob, which literally meant heel grabber. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, a man's man, you know, the beard hunting, open country. But Jacob was content to stay at home amongst the tents, a city boy, a city boy. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter. Sorry, we already read that. Verse 28, Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, men thinking with their stomachs, again, that makes sense, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Verse 29, once Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished, hungry, exhausted, and he said, Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew, I'm famished. And then Jacob replies with something remarkable. Over red stew, Jacob replies, he says, first, sell me your birthright. Stew? Birthright? This doesn't make sense. And Esau replies, verse 32, look, I'm about to die, bro. Literally, bro. Esau said, what good is the birthright to me? But Jacob said, hey, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. Lentil stew, this is nasty, guys. Lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. And then this is what we're going to talk about tonight, the very last line. The only commentary that God gives us on this whole story. So Esau despised his birthright. And this last line, my friends, is so important. And when I was studying this, it hit me. I said, this is strange. Should it not say, so Jacob tricked his brother? So Jacob was deceptive. So Jacob took advantage. No, no, no. It said, so Esau despised his birthright. And then the chapter ends, and we move on to another story. So we're going to explore that tonight. See, Esau was hungry, but what he did with that hunger, he would regret for the rest of his days. He would regret for the rest of his days. So we've been talking about, in this series of old things, we've been talking about different spirits, the spirit of control, the spirit of fear, the spirit of shame. Tonight, the next one we're going to talk about is the title of this message, the spirit of hunger. The spirit of hunger. Would you look to your neighbor and say, I'm hungry? No, come on. Say it like it's 8:30 on a Tuesday night. You haven't had dinner. Say, I'm hungry. No, you can do better. I'm hungry. Yeah. This is a dangerous title for a preacher because now you're not going to listen to me at all. You're just going to think about where you're getting food after this. But man, that's okay. You know why that's okay? Because I love food. Oh, I love food. Anybody else in the room love food? Any foodies in the house? Let's go. That's my people. You know, there's these other people in society called fitness people. And they say things like this. They say food is simply fuel for the body. What the heck? I rebuke that in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Food is not simply fuel for your body. Food is enjoyment. Food is social. Food is delicious. Food is a good reason to get out of bed in the morning. Food is great. Let's do some work here. Who likes pizza? Any pizza lovers in the house? Like a good deep dish, you know, maybe a thin crust Italian pizza. I love pizza. Who likes pasta? We're on an Italian vein. Oh, yeah, spaghetti carbonara, fettuccine Alfredo, rigatoni bolognese. I could go all day. Love Italian food. Hey, where are my Caribbean people at? Who likes some jerk chicken up in here? Ooh, baby, let's go. You have not had jerk chicken until you have had jerk chicken like I had in the Fern Gully in the Holy Land of Jamaica out of an oil drum. Come on, they know what I'm talking about. That's the real stuff. That's good. I don't know how clean it was, y'all, but it was good. It was real good. Now my favorite, I'm a meat lover, filet mignon, T-bone steaks, ribeyes, porterhouse. Love steaks. Tacos? Any taco lovers? Espanol? Si? Yeah? Love some tacos. But my all-time favorite, don't worry, I'm going to stop soon. My all-time favorite, Korean barbecue. If y'all weren't cheering, y'all don't understand. This is how God designed food to be. You cook it at your table. You don't even get a plate. You grab it off the grill and you put it straight in your mouth. That is how God made it to be. And you know what? If the food isn't good, you don't even know because you eat so much kimchi, it burns your taste buds off. Because it's so spicy, you don't even know. You just have a good time. Korean barbecue is delicious. I love food. Ooh, I wasn't supposed to go that long on this point. But the truth of the matter is I'm a hungry person. You ask me if I'm hungry, there's only one answer. Yes, I'm hungry. I'm always hungry. But the truth is, friends, I'm not just hungry for physical food. I'm hungry for a lot of things. I'm hungry for approval. I'm hungry to feel known. I'm hungry to feel loved. I'm emotionally hungry. I'm spiritually hungry. That's just the truth. I'm being real with you. And look, you are too. We all are. And what I want to tell you tonight is that hunger is not intrinsically in and of itself a bad thing. Hunger is not a bad thing. Think about the alternative. Anyone ever been really sick in this room or you know someone who's been really sick? One of the first things to leave is your appetite. You've been cheering because you're healthy. If you're sick, all those things I read off to you mean nothing because you don't have an appetite. Hunger in of itself is not a bad thing. In fact, hunger is a sign of life. Because you're hungry, that's a good thing. It means you're alive. It means your organs are functioning. It's proof of life. You know, the river, this thing is pretty crazy what God has been doing. And people ask me a lot of questions about it. And sometimes they ask me this. They say, what's the best thing about the river? What makes it work? How come so many people come on snowy, cold Tuesdays? What makes it work? I say, here's the best thing about the river. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with anyone else on this stage. It has nothing to do with the beautiful building God gave us. The best thing about the river is the hunger. The hunger that the people have to get in the presence of God. You are a hungry people. You come out here because you hear about God's presence being there and you're hungry. You say, I got to get some of that. Just get me there. I don't care how. Snow, I'll go. Minus 10, I'll go. Tear off the roof. Put me in from the roof if you need to. I just got to be in the presence of God. That's who you are. You're a hungry people. I wonder, anyone hungry for the presence of God in the room? Come on, make some noise if you're hungry for the presence of God. I wonder if there's anyone bold enough to get up and praise him right now with the lights on in the middle of a sermon to say, hey, my God died a public death for me. I don't mind praising him with the lights on. I don't mind who sees. I'll shout a mighty praise that'll tear down walls in my life. That's what I thought. You're hungry. Now sit down, behave yourself. We're just getting started. I'm going to tell your pastor how you do when you come here. You're hungry and it's good. It's so good to be hungry for the things of God. Look to your neighbor and say, we hungry. It's bad grammar, but I like it. It's gangster. We hungry. The question is this. And I believe it's one of the most important questions in all of life. What are you hungry for? What is that thing that you long for? What do you think about most when your head hits the pillow at night, when you wake up in the morning? What are you most hungry for? Because friends, the answer to that question will determine everything. Matthew chapter 5 is coming up on the screen. Verse 6 says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. What's righteousness? Yes, of course, it's right living. Yes, of course, it's sanctification. Yes, of course, it's saying no to sin. But what righteousness really is God. God is where we get our very definition of righteous. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for God, for they will be filled. But this world today, in 2025, this world today wants you hungry for anything but God. And it will put things in front of you. It'll make an all-you-can-eat buffet passing by you of things that are not of God. It's the trick of the devil. See, he can't stop the promises on your life. He's powerless to it. But if he can get you to be so full on all these other things that you don't get filled with the one thing that will really fill you, that's his ploy. So when you're hungry, be careful, because remember, when you're hungry, you will do things and you will say things that you would not normally do absent that hunger. This is the story of Esau. He learned this the hard way. He gave away his birthright, y'all. He was the firstborn child. Who's a firstborn child in the room? Put your hand up. Yeah, we the real ones. Come on. Firstborns. That's right. We run things. We're the firstborn. It's right. Shannon, it's my little sister. Things back then were a little different than they were today. If you were the firstborn child, you know what your birthright was? You immediately became the legal authority of your family, the spiritual authority of your family, and you got 2/3 of your father's inheritance. No matter how many other kids there were, they would only get whatever's left of the 1/3. You said, amen? He's a firstborn. Amen. This is what Esau had before him. He was going to get 2/3 of his father's inheritance, of his father's estate, Isaac. This is the lineage that would give, eventually make way for the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He has so much, and Isaac's 60 years old. He's not a spring chicken at this time. All of this is before him. Yet he's so hungry that he gives it away for a bowl of lentil soup. That is what the devil would love for you. God has so much for you, child, son, daughter of the king. But the devil would love nothing more than to get you so desperate, so empty, so longing that you would give it away for something that only lasts 15 minutes. How many marriages of 15 years have been torn down because they wanted something else for 15 minutes? Ouch, I know, it's real preaching. But friends, this is what the enemy wants in your life. What's the lesson? Don't make big decisions when you're hungry. And I'm not just talking about food. When you're hungry for approval, when you're hungry for affection, when you're hungry for fame, we got to be very careful what it is that we actually hunger for, because when we're hungry, we're going to act different. Shoot, I'll tell you, I have learned some things about me. I'm 35, I'm getting old, okay? I've learned some things about Ryan McVitie, and I have just gone ahead and apologized to my wife and told her so many times, look, if we have to talk about anything remotely serious, I need to eat first. I need some carbs, babe, and then we can talk about it, okay? You know why? Because I'm a hangry person. Anyone in the room a hangry person? You know what that is? Self-professed hangry person? What's that? The other people don't get it. I'll tell you what a hangry person is. It's a person who is a beautiful, sweet, kind soul. Nice to everyone at all times until they're hungry. And then it's like a new presence just comes out of them. That's me. I'm a hangry person. And I have to apologize to her very often. Babe, look, I'm sorry. It's just that I was hungry. In fact, whoever you came here with tonight, would you look at them and say, I'm sorry, I was hungry. I know you got something to apologize about, especially if you're dating or you're married. I'm sorry, I was hungry. Let me help you out. Never go to the grocery store while you're hungry. Do you know how much groceries cost in 2025? This is not a political speech, but if it was, my oh my. Do you know how expensive basic items are at the grocery store now? Don't you ever go there hungry. Loblaws, Metro, Sobeys, Costco, dear Jesus, help you. If you go to Costco while you're hungry, get ready for some debt. You're going to be broke. I don't go grocery shopping much. I don't think my wife trusts me with it, to be honest, because of my track record. But when I get the opportunity, I go, yeah, baby, this is my moment to shine. I got this. But I'm always hungry. It's a problem. And it leads to months down the road. We'll be in the kitchen, and Lindsay will open the pantry, and she'll say, Ryan, why is there a 96-pack of noodles in here? Sorry, I was hungry. And everything at Costco only comes in packs of 96. What did you want me to do? I'm hungry. See, in life, we can say to people, I'm sorry, I was hungry, but this is where it all takes a turn. I'm not sure when I get to the pearly gates. When you get to those pearly gates, friends, we all will get there one day. Tomorrow is not promised. I am not sure that I can just say to God, I'm sorry I did all that. I was hungry. I'm sorry I kept doing that. I was hungry. I'm sorry I ran back to that. I was hungry. And don't hear me wrong. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your salvation is secure. That is done. But He is your Lord. There is obedience, and He wants good for you. There's more for you. But I'm not sure I can say at the pearly gates, God, I'm sorry, I was just hungry. Not after the words of Christ in John chapter 6, verse 35, where He said this, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. See, He is the answer for that hunger that we have. And if I'm being honest with you and venting with you for a minute, I used to be very judgmental of people. Very judgmental if I thought somebody was doing something wrong or if someone was being rude. I used to be so judgmental of them, and I had a hard heart in that area. But you know what situations I'm talking about. Like you're at the grocery store, for example, and you got to get through. And there's this wonderful, nice lady named Karen who won't move her cart over 1 inch for you to get around. So you got to divert your entire plan and go down 3 other aisles just to get the item you want. I'm sorry, Karens. You've been through a lot the past 5 years. I shouldn't have said that. I don't mean like, I meant like if that's actually your name. You know, okay, anyways. Or, you know, you're trying to parallel park your car. Nobody's good at parallel parking, okay? Just let yourself off the hook. Nobody's good at that junk. It's hard, okay? And you need 10 seconds and people are honking their horn at you. You're like, bro, come on, just be decent. And honestly, society is a pretty messed up place today. But then God really worked on me, and he showed this to me. He said, Ryan, you got to remember, they're hangry. They're hungry. They don't have the bread of life like you do. They're just like you in the grocery store. They're just trying to grasp onto anything they can to fill the void that is inside of them for just a few moments so they don't feel so alone. Because they have not accessed the bread of life or the well that never runs dry. And all of a sudden you start to look at people a little different. And you understand, man, they're hangry. They're trying to grab onto anything. And in 2025, we consume constantly. It's crazy because we are more full. Our time is more full than ever before. Yet somehow we feel less filled than ever before. How is that possible? It's because we fill every minute of our life with things. And I'm not saying they're all bad things, but even good things cannot replace God things. And we get on our phone and we grab our feed. You know, they don't call it a feed for no reason. And we feed and we feed and we scroll. How come I don't look like her? How come I don't have what he has? I've been working on this longer than him. Look at his success. What's going on? Man, if I could just be that beautiful, I'd be happy. If I could just have that house, I'd be happy. If I could just get the dream girl, the dream guy like they have, I'd be happy. But friends, then you get it and you're still not happy. That is the testimony of everyone in society that does not have the bread of life. Because none of this can ever fill the God-shaped hole that is in your heart. Only one thing can do that. But we try and we say, man, I'm hungry. It's 1 a.m. Let me just go to that website. I know I won't feel hungry for a few minutes while I'm there. Until you feel the death and destruction that comes after. Man, I've had six. If I have the seventh, one more, I'll finally feel full and I won't have this pain anymore. But then you have the seventh and it's not better. I'll text him. I know what he's about. That'll make me feel better for a little while. But friends, you've got to understand, none of that will really make you full. None of that will make you whole. Society is literally starving, just trying to grab onto anything that will fulfill the gap. But the things of this world can't do it. Even the best things of this world have no hope of doing what God can do in your life. It's like this. You could have a McDonald's Big Mac. On my chain of food, that's down here, okay? You could have a McDonald's Big Mac. Or you could have a filet mignon steak from the keg. Maybe you're real bougie, Ruth Chris, downtown Toronto. I don't know how bougie you roll, if that's you. You could have either one of those things. Your experience while you're eating it would be very different. But 24 hours later, you'd still be hungry. It's like that in the world. There are some things better than other things for sure. But you'll still hunger. Ruth Chris or Big Mac. Wagyu beef or maybe beef, not sure. You'll still hunger. Unless you have the one thing. Why? Because Christ said this in Matthew chapter 4:4. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Yeah, you can give him some praise. So be careful when you're hungry. Esau was not careful. When you're hungry, there's places that you should not go. There's aisles in your life that you should not be walking down while you're hungry. But there is one place you can always run to when you're hungry. There is a friend, a father, a Lord, and a Savior who is always available for you. He stays closer than a brother. He never leaves you, nor forsakes you, or abandons you. He's there when you need him. But the enemy knows this trick. To come at you when you're hungry. Not Sunday morning when you're filled up. Not Tuesday night when you're here. This is not when he comes for you. He comes for you when you're hungry. And he knows it. It's the trick. And here's what he wants you to do. This is everything I came to tell you today. Here's what he wants you to do. He wants you to give up your birthright for your temporary appetite. He wants you to give up what matters most for what you want right now. But Christians, don't give up your birthright for your appetite. See, Esau, he valued his current appetite more than what his father had for him. Anyone in the room have toddlers? Let me see your hands if you have a toddler. I have a toddler. He's the best. Let me see. Everyone, we're going to have a prayer meeting right now. Pray for these people. Protection, safety, anointing, grace, patience, be it all unto you, because we need it. It's hard having a toddler. I have the best one. His name's Maverick. I love him more than anything. He's the cutest kid. He's up here dancing with very questionable dance moves. I'm not sure where he learned them, but he dances during the worship. Must have been from his mom. It wasn't from me. And he's the best, but let me tell you, toddlers are difficult. You know why? Because toddlers constantly want stuff. I mean, all the time. And when do they want what they want? Sorry, when do they want what they want? They want it now. You think, if I say to him, oh, Maverick, yeah, just sit there patiently for about 7 minutes, please, while I finish this work, and then I'll go get that for you. You think he's going to say, sure, Dad? No, he's going to scream my face off until I give it to him. Because he's two. That's how toddlers are. But I wonder, are we so different with our Heavenly Father? When we pray to him for what we want? I'm not. Maybe you're more spiritual than me, but I'll tell you what my prayers do not look like. Lord, in your divine will, purpose, and appointment, whether it be 30 years from now, 40 years from now, that's fine, God. You are sovereign. Give it to me whenever you want, Jesus. No, are you kidding me? God, I need it now. My rent's due Friday, dude. Don't call God dude. That's messed up. But we're like toddlers. We say, God, we need it now. But let me tell you a lesson I've learned in my life. I am very, very good at knowing what I want. And you're very good at knowing what you want. It's February. Some of you psychotic people have a Christmas list for December already made because you know what you want so bad. You got a Pinterest board rolling already. We are so good at knowing what we want, but let me tell you something. God, your Heavenly Father, knows something so much better than what you want. He knows what you need, and he gives it to you when you need it. What does my two-year-old want right now? Usually everything dangerous. Knives, scissors, candle lighters, things at extreme heights. If I just gave him what he wanted, he wouldn't make it to tomorrow. But aren't we sometimes holding that against God? God, you didn't give me what I want. And maybe he's just like a father going, son, because I love you, and you're not ready for that right now. I know you're single and you want the dream girl, but if I give her to you right now, you're going to lose her in a week. And what good is that? You got to grow a little bit. See, he gives us what we need, not what we want. But Esau wanted the soup so bad, he needed the birthright. And the rest of his life, he regretted the decision that he made. And there's nothing the enemy would love more than to get you to choose the soup just like he did. To get you to choose what feels good right now. For today we eat, we drink, we be merry, and tomorrow we die. That's a lie. You have an eternity ahead of you. Inheritance of eternal things that are spectacular. So don't let your current circumstances ever make you forget the value of your birthright. Of what is promised to you and who is present with you. See, we all hunger and we all thirst. I'm trying to tell you that hunger and thirst, it doesn't go away on its own. And we don't just hunger for those delicious dishes that I told you about. We hunger for purpose and peace and contentment and fulfillment to not feel empty and not feel alone. So I want to teach you something before we go back into worship that changed my life. I mean it changed my life. See, when I used to get hungry for the things of this world, for fleshly things, and I still do. You think I'm perfect? I'm not anywhere near perfect. Pastors aren't perfect. But when I used to really desire and have a hunger for things of this world, let me show you the prayer I used to pray. I used to get down on my knees because I felt guilt and I felt shame. And I used to cry out unto the Lord and say, God, take away this hunger. I don't want to be hungry for that anymore. Take away this hunger. That's not a bad prayer, but I want to teach you a better one that can change your life. Because hunger is not going anywhere. You live in a fallen world. Adam and Eve made a decision, in a garden a long time ago. And don't get mad at Eve, because if she didn't do it, you would have. Or so would have I. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to get mad at them. I'm going to say thank you that it's Adam and Eve, not Ryan and Lindsay. Praise God. But you know, that story is so interesting because Eve, it's not until the serpent came and made her think she was hungry. Only at that point did sin enter the world. It was eating from a tree, the tree of knowledge and good and evil. This is the trick of the devil to make you think you're so hungry that you just gotta take the cheap soup that this world gives you instead of your birthright, your inheritance. So don't pray this. Don't pray, God, take away the hunger. Pray something so much better. The solution is not to eliminate the hunger. The solution is to stop feeding your hunger with the garbage that this world gives you, the quick little hits that make you feel better for 1 hour, and to start feeding on the bread of life, to start getting into his presence. When you feel the hunger for that thing that's bad, to crank up the worship music in your car so loud that you think you're at the River Worship while you're on the Don Valley Parkway swearing at people. You got to understand something. Christ is in you. You've been made a new creation. He's accessible to you anywhere you are, even when you're hungry for things that are not of God. In fact, that's when you need to get hungry for him the most. The solution, my friends, to the hunger that you have is nothing that this world can give you. The solution is the presence of your Savior. Oh, how sweet it is to see his face. When you see his face, the things of this world grow strangely dim, as the old hymnist said. So next time you feel the hunger, here's what I want you to do, and I want you to practice and do it right now. I want you to shout, I don't want the soup. Come on, preachers, shout it. I don't want the soup. Say, I don't want the soup. I want the Savior. I'm taking the Savior, not the soup. I want the birthright. I don't want the cheap things of this world. Friends, that hunger that you despise can also be the thing that will save your life if you will get hungry for the right thing, if you'll get hungry for the one thing that will change it. If you will feast on your Father and his goodness, everything will change. So tonight, that's what I want for you. You didn't come out just to another Tuesday night. You didn't come out just to see the most handsome worship leader of all time. This dude is handsome, Adam King. I was around, I'm like, my gosh, I'm hideous. Look how handsome this guy is. That's not healthy. He'll be back, don't worry. Ladies, that's not why you came tonight. That's not why the Lord wanted you here. The Lord wanted you here so that you would never hunger or thirst again. So that you could drink from the well that never runs dry. So that you could experience overflow poured out on your life. So would you stand back to your feet? Because we got the best worship left. We won't keep you much longer. But I promise you, we got some great worship. Thank you for letting me deliver this message to you. I want to tell you this. I think it's probably the most meaningful thing I could ever tell you. Until Jesus Christ is enough for you, no person, no place, or thing ever will be. That great spouse that you got blessed with, that great spouse that you will get blessed with, as great as he or she may be, they will never fill the God-shaped hole in your heart. You can't ask them to. It's not fair. A great family, a great church, a great friend group, nothing else can do it. Until he is enough, there will always be hunger. But I want to tell you this, that if you will make the decision and draw the line in the sand today to say, God, the devil's been bringing soup my way every day, and it's been looking attractive. more and more, the more that I look at it, the more that I think about it, the more I want it. If you will make the decision today to say, no, I don't want the soup anymore. I've been given a birthright that was bought with the price of the Son of God hung on a mount called Calvary. Blood poured out for me, for you. If today you will say, that's what I want, then God will pull up in this room and bring an all-you-can-eat buffet in your presence. He will come here like a fresh wind. And he is better than anything this world can give. Psalm 34:8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Psalm 107:9, for he satisfies the longing soul. And the hungry soul he fills with good things. So if you're a hungry soul, right now you got an opportunity to fill up with good things. You can get just a taste and you can thank him for your birthright. What is your birthright? You want to know what your birthright is? I hope you want to know, because it's the best thing ever. Your birthright is incredible. And your birthright is available only in his presence. But C.S. Lewis said this. He has a quote. He says that it is in the process of being worshipped that God reveals his presence the most. And if you're one of those Christians, say, I don't listen to man. I only listen to the Bible. Okay, cool. God said this in the Word of God. I will inhabit the praises of my people. You are his people. He will inhabit your praise. And in his presence, you will discover what your birthright is. Here's what your birthright is. This is what you have ahead of you. This is what you can look forward to. Revelation chapter 7, verse 16 said it. You shall hunger no more. You shall not thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike you or any scorching heat. For the Lamb, the perfect Lamb in the midst of the throne, will be your shepherd. And he will guide you to the springs of living waters. And God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. That's your birthright. And I see some people that have some tears because you have a testimony, man. You've been through some things. But I want you to know God has not left you. And though your weeping may endure for a little while, there is joy in the morning. There is joy for you. There is an inheritance for you that is accessible to you. So right now in this moment, I want you to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm done with the soup. I want the one thing that can make me whole. I want the one thing that changes everything. Don't give me the world. Don't give me the bottle. Don't give me fame. Don't give me popularity. Don't give me all your titles. Don't give me any of that. Give me Jesus, because he's the only thing that'll do it. Thank you.